This is Brent Musburger, and here is your VSiN action update. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
The NFL draft is coming up Thursday, April the 29th in Cleveland. It's expected Clemson's Trevor Lawrence will go number one to the Jacksonville Jaguars. At number two, it appears the New York Jets are poised to draft BYU quarterback Zach Wilson. But on a numbers game with Gil Alexander, ESPN College Game Day producer Chris Felica says there are a lot of red flags with Wilson.
BYU, the schedule that they played in a COVID-shortened year, and you tie that into the fact that 2 years ago, he threw 11 touchdowns, had 9 interceptions, and his QBR was 57. In this weird year that we just had, he had 33 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, and a quarterback rating of 89. Like, a 32-point jump and a three times improvement in touchdown passes and like that, that's like, is it real? It's kind of like it was alive, or is it memorized, that old commercial? Like, is it real, or is it like just a right. outlier? And then this is something that Jason Weingarten had talked about a couple months ago, and I actually looked into it. Like, you look at the offensive line he was playing behind. He had a tackle who was 24, a tackle who was 25, the center was 24, and a guard who was 23. Like, if you look at Alex Leatherwood from Alabama, he was 21. So Wilson's playing behind
such
an offensive line that is,
yeah.
that is older and against the schedule that they played. That's a massive advantage, I think, for Wilson. So, hey, maybe he'll turn out to be great as a Jets fan. I hope he does. But if I'm a Jets fan, you know what? I wouldn't be opposed to going into the season with, and I know people are probably going to laugh at me, have Becton, have Sewell, throw James Morgan under there for all I care at center. See what he can do. I remember talking to Butch Davis a couple of years ago about this kid, and Butch swore that the kid was going to be able to play in the league. So, and if not, then go get a veteran quarterback.
Chris Felica of ESPN on a numbers game with Gil Alexander. Heard weekdays 10 a.m. to noon Eastern on VSiN. Although it appears that Zach Wilson of BYU will go to the Jets at number two, Felica hopes that the Jets have a change of heart and decide to go with an offensive lineman. Padres and Dodgers will meet this weekend at Chavez Ravine in a National League West Division showdown. Fernando Tatis Jr. could return for the Padres. He has been out with an injury that former Major League pitcher Josh Towers told Mike Palmer-Marshall on the Nuts could be a good thing for the Padres in the short term.
He was an easy out right now for me, and defensively you can see that it was affected. And so I just felt like, I don't want to see anybody get hurt. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying this at all. I just felt like right now he wasn't ready to be playing at the big league level. And I know that sounds weird, but you give somebody 22, 21 years old, $330 million. I'm telling you, you're good enough. You're good. You're it. You're the man. And so those little subtle changes he has to want to make within in order to get better. And right now he's the talk of the town. So I just felt like he's more of a liability, with the exception of when he is in the lineup, he still strikes a little bit of fear, so there's protection. And until Kim starts to hit, you know, I'm not as worried, but he's going to put the ball in play. Defensively, he's going to be a little better. And I just felt for the team short term, they're probably better without.
The spring sports schedule's heating up, and we're analyzing baseball, hoops, hockey, soccer, tennis, and horse racing each and every day. And our NFL experts are preparing for the 2021 NFL draft with insights on trades and evaluating top picks and looking at prop betting opportunities. Now's the time to get Point Spread Weekly, our daily best bet subscriber-only email, and the latest odds and data at vsin.com. Start your free trial today at vsin.com/subscribe. With your action update, I'm Mike Sennett.
Get the latest VSiN odds at vsin.com. And remember, cashing tickets is what it's all about.
The spring sports calendar is packed with betting opportunities, and here at VSiN, we're on top of all the action. We're looking at early season baseball trends, what teams are peaking and tanking, heading into the NBA and NHL playoffs, tracking the favorites and long shots for every golf tournament, plus keeping an eye on all of the top NFL draft prospects to provide you the best betting insights and analysis. Start your free trial today at VSiN.com/subscribe and put our team to work for you.
Before you place your next bet, visit VSiN.com for all the latest data and powerful betting tools. Start with our live odds, team comparisons, and previews for every game on the schedule. Then dive deeper with live tracking of betting trends and line movements. And don't miss our unique tools, including odds comparisons from sportsbooks across the country, prop bet search engine, and custom parlay calculator. Everything you need to increase your betting knowledge and confidence is at your fingertips. Visit VSiN.com today.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome into the show. It is Betting Across America, and we are presented by BetMGM. I'm Mike Pritchard, your host out here in Las Vegas. Your other host is in the Mile High City, Denver, Colorado, James Salinas. James, how are you?
Happy Friday to you, partner. It's all good out here. A little snowy, a little cold, but I'm bunkered inside. I'm warm. I'm ready to rock.
You know what? I was going to ask you about the weather because of the Rockies-Mets game. I saw the Mets as they landed. It was a blizzard last night, and so I'm not surprised that game is postponed today.
Yeah, we got buried pretty good here again. It's March and April, you know, that were very snowy and wet months here. Mm-hmm. So when it rolls in heavy, it rolls in hard. And yeah, good thing, because I think there is going to be a break. It's not snowing now. There will be some snow potentially later, but it's going to be miserable. I mean, it's going to be in the 20s. You don't want to play baseball in that.
No, sir.
It's great football weather, Pritch. It's great football weather, but this weather is more conducive to throwing snowballs, not fastballs.
Absolutely. And so the Mets, I mean, they can't escape the bad weather. They travel away from New York, and still the bad weather's out there in Colorado. So they'll make up that game for sure. We got a big baseball schedule. We got some hockey. We're going to have Andy McNeil on the show. NFL props as we get closer and closer to the draft and, of course, the association. So we have a game in progress right now, Braves, Cubs. The Cubs are on top 1-0. Did you have a play on this one at all, James?
No play with these ones. I just looked at the pitching matchups and tried to look at, do I really trust in Davies? I don't really know enough. There wasn't enough history on Wright for me to feel comfortable with. So, you know, I think for me, Pritch, I'm very decisive in most everything that I do, and I take a very pragmatic approach to all aspects of my life, and sports betting is a part of that too. But if I'm questioning and I'm on making sides or I can make a case or can't make a case for either side, if I have any reservations, I'm moving on. I'm not looking for action. I'm looking for winners. So certain games like that, it's a pretty quick look. Yeah, move along.
I hear you, and I've learned that from you, and it's helped me because believe me, I've looked for action at times. And I had to avoid it. How about
well,
this?
Well, Pritch, and I was going to say, you know, that's just it for me. I'm not really a volume better either.
Right.
We got a ton of games on the card, and I'll win more than I lose kind of thing. I'm going to be very decisive. If I like it, I'm not afraid to fire, and that's where it is. It's not a volume. I'm not a unit better. If I like it, we're banging it. And here's, you know, and tread lightly with some of these contests, especially baseball. We've talked about that. It's early in the season. So there's plenty of plays to be made. And I think you know this too. I had a really good night last night, right? I didn't end up playing that Dodgers total once that lineup came out. I kind of suspected they might get a little creative with the lineup, knowing that they've got the huge series going into San Diego today. So I did not play that one, but everything else rolled in. So usually when I have a very successful night like yesterday, I'll kind of temper my expectations and dial things back a little bit. Just don't try to get too frisky with it.
Absolutely. Just knowing the lane to stay in. I mean, that is certainly great advice from you in terms of when it comes to sports wagering with anything. I mean, we can always get carried away sometimes, but being disciplined, I've learned that from you as well, and I really appreciate that, by the way. There is a game I'm interested in, though, Pirates and Brewers. The Pirates, look, their low win total or whatever, what people think of them, you know, the Brewers coming out the gate this year, too. This was an interesting game to me, though, because, James, I'm looking at this line, and you're seeing the pitching matchup, but you're also seeing Milwaukee minus 143 at home. That total 8 as well.
Yeah, and if looking at the Brewers here, I think it's, you know, I like the Brewers. I like them with the starting pitching. I like the bullpen. Here, Hauser is, you know, he's down the rotation for them. I love the top of the rotation here. I think for Brubaker for the Pirates, that's ultimately, I think that's their, you know, young pitcher there, but I think he's probably got the most potential of that starting staff with the Brewers. So I think you've seen, especially, you know, I played a number of first fives yesterday. Some of them were over. I think at this case here, I don't have a play on this one, but I was looking at with both of these lineups, and the Brewers have not started hitting. They've had a few breakout games. The Pirates have struggled to hit the baseball so far this season. I was looking more so at that the first five inning, looking at the under here at 4.5, as well as playing in the National League where you get to clear the pitcher spot at least a couple times if you can get through five innings. So that would probably be the only option that I'm looking at here with this game, under 4.5. Decent pitchers up on the hill. I think the young guy for Pittsburgh has started off relatively well, especially when you don't have a big book on these guys. It takes sometimes a full rotation through the lineup to still go back into the dugout and start making adjustments as the innings progress. So kind of we talked about that yesterday with Detroit and the A's, and that was able to hang on. I had to sweat that one a little bit, but yeah. Hang on there. So kind of the same scenario here, looking at the under first five. Only at 4.5. It's juiced a little bit at $1.15 towards the under.
Okay, what about Toronto and Kansas City? Because we did our baseball preview leading up to opening day, and I remember talking with you and having a show discussion about the Kansas City Royals and are they going to be feisty this year? They're 7-4 right now, James, at home right now, even with a total of 8.
Well, they've got a good mix of veterans, young players, but some veterans on that team too. Not only through the lineup. I like the lineup. I like the speed there. I love the addition of Carlos Santana. Going to give you really quality at bats. Salvi's a great leader behind the dish, usually hitting cleanup, and some speed at the top of the order, and some speed at the bottom of the order, bringing Taylor out there too, and some speed out on speed on the bases, which I like, and also speed in the outfield to go run down and get the ball because they're going to need it because I think that's where, you know, the starting pitching is definitely the rotation is in question. Here, I think what I was looking at with this one, Pritch, was I was actually digging into this one, and weather could potentially be a factor here. So I think that's something to check into. If you're looking at starting, I mean, a lot of times some don't give you listed pitchers. Look for around if you're looking for listed pitchers there. Some books do. Some books just have action. So in this case here, the only thing that I really angle that I was digging into here was looking at with Mike Minor taking the hill today. Now. This is somebody that he's not one of those guys. He's not one that I want to back. And he's a guy that I just don't trust that challenges hitters and works a lot of deep counts, kind of nibbles around, throws a lot of off-speed, secondary junk pitches, and doesn't really challenge hitters. If Toronto can be disciplined at the plate, I think they're going to create some deep counts on Minor today. So you don't want to get to the sixth inning with Minor, and I don't think that he will because I think they're going to run some very deep counts against him, will the Blue Jays. So that was what I was looking at, was under with his outs at $1.30 with Mike Minor. And then if something does happen with the weather and there is any kind of break, and he has started, we'll see if he comes back in. But that's the only play that I could find, the only angle. And I think that's the one I like best in this, or Mike Minor under 17.5 outs at $1.30.
Okay, and you're looking at the Toronto Blue Jays, that lineup too, second generation kind of players up and down the roster there. What have you seen from Toronto, from that lineup, James, that I guess makes you focus on that type of angle on this one?
Yeah, I think for me with Toronto, it's, you know, they're going to be aggressive. Those young kids aren't going up there to walk, right? And, you know, they're going to go up and swing the bats, but, you know, fell behind. They dug themselves a hole early yesterday and trying to dig out of that. And maybe there's sometimes when you're facing the big bad Yankees, right, and you're going to get really jazzed and pumped up for that, and then you travel on the road and you're going to go play the Royals team, non-division team, a team that's not expected to do much. Maybe there's a bit of a letdown here, so I think it's game to game, right? Mm-hmm. It's really the adjustments prior to the game, what is the game plan going in for your ball club against that, the, you know, your opponent, your opposing pitcher, and then in-game adjustments too? That's something that I'm still waiting to see, because it is a really young team. It's a very aggressive swinging team,
right?
And a lot of pop and a lot of pizzazz, and they're fun to watch. But in this case here, I think that they'll be able to make adjustments as it goes through. I think as long as they're and can show some kind of discipline, Miner's not going to he's not going to challenge those young hitters today. So I think it's going to be a long day for Miner. He's going to throw a deep, like I said, a lot of deep counts here. As long as Toronto, and that's kind of what I'm banking on, have a little discipline at the plate, work some counts, work the pitch count up on Meyer, and let's get him out of there before we get to the sixth inning.
All right, I hear you. I love that. We got a big show. We got so much to get to. So we're going to continue with baseball a little bit later. But these win totals just came out from the National Football League, the 2021 win totals. Now, this is prior to the draft, and we're going to lead up again with the show. We got some draft props we're going to go over as well. Your early thoughts on this early win total situation with these odds with the Chiefs, their win total is 12. Now, again, keeping in mind, we have 17 regular season games now. Chiefs still with a high win total up there at 12. The Buccaneers, 11.5.
Well, I think if you're playing season win totals, that's the first thing you got to do, Pritch, is get out of. You're going to have to unlearn what you've learned for so long with a 16-game season. If you're thinking 12, all right, can they go 12-4? So you're just going to have to do the readjust that math in your head when you're talking. What does 12 wins look like now? It's 12-5. So that part's going to be. It might take a little bit of an adjustment period for some folks just to get out of that mindset. Right? We're just so such. At least for somebody like me, such a creature of habit. But not too big a deal once you start to dig into it. I think for me, though, when it comes to win totals, I know we know who the opponents are going to be for each team.
Right.
Who they're going to play, what they're going to play them at home, play them on the road. But as just as important as it is who you're playing, for me, it is just as important, if not more important, when do you play them? Because scheduling is definitely something that's a key part of my NFL handicap. It's part of a handicap for a lot of these sports, but definitely when it's related to the National Football League. Because, you know, you can, if it's just going to be as simple as looking at the team that they're going to play, and you can check the box, yeah, win, loss, win, win, loss. I can't do that, because I have to know when they're going to play them, because I think we see this all the time. Plenty of opportunities to find. That's why I like playing dogs in the NFL. Plenty of sandwich opportunities. If you're, you know full well, Pritch, the biggest games on your schedule are always going to be your division games, right?
Right.
Got to win the division. That's the priority first to get yourself in the playoffs. So you're looking at those. And sometimes you might have a game sandwich, a non-conference game. It's maybe a bad football team sandwiched in between two. You might have had a big rivalry division game last week. Now you're playing some non-conference team on the road this week, and then you got a big, maybe it's a Sunday night football game against another division team that you're competing with to, at the top of the standings. Sometimes these games can fall through the cracks, and you don't see the best effort. So I think for me, really, when we deal with season win totals, before I really start to dig into that, I've got to know when they're playing as opposed to just knowing who they're playing.
Okay, and so the fact that these win totals are out prior to the draft, probably you're not anticipating these odds shifting too much after the draft, are you? I mean, because I'm thinking about that, and I'm also thinking about this year and what the owners have stated, that they want fans back in the stands. And so what that could mean for home teams in terms of these win totals as well.
Yeah, and I think we start to get back to, and hopefully by the time we get to September, right, we can get back to at least somewhere close to full capacity in the stadiums, if not full capacity, and then readjust ourselves back to 2 years ago. What did that feel like, and what value did we put on a home field advantage when it came to the crowd noise, and even just the environment, right, so with the crowds and indoor stadiums or cold weather stadiums, all those kind of things. But yeah, will some of these shift potentially? I just think the draft is so speculative.
Yeah,
right, Pritch?
And, it's crapshoot.
So I just think we can sit exactly well, and we know that teams are going to reach for players because of whether it's are they filling the need or are they trying to keep their jobs, right? And we got to do something flashy and splashy here. So we'll make some trades, and I think we're going to see a lot of that, a lot of jockeying around, and maybe especially if there's some especially starting at the quarterback position for sure, which quarterbacks go where, and maybe that might influence some of those other win totals with some of those teams, especially outside of the 49ers, who obviously moved up to third. At least we're speculating that they're looking to pick a quarterback. quarterback at that spot. I know you've got maybe a potentially different opinion, which I think is really interesting.
I have a crapshoot opinion. Ship,
maybe the
yeah, box cars so maybe are, the are number snake guys.
Right, well, then let's go to the table, man. If we're feeling frisky, we're looking for action, let's sling it. But I think here maybe the win total itself doesn't change, but I think maybe the price on it, the juice on it, whether it's over or under, those will probably shift some to some degree based on where the draft falls once we're done with the draft in a couple weeks.
Yeah, I know. What stands out to me is the Ravens are at 11 with their win total, which is very, very interesting. It's plus 100 to go under, minus 120 to go over. The Seahawks, 9.5. The under is plus 115. The Seahawks to go over, minus 140. You know, I don't know what these two teams can do in the draft that's going to influence those numbers. I mean, those win totals even. Yeah. They're probably locked in. But the 17-game schedule is very interesting because last year we saw the Chiefs kind of rust everybody week 16 or week 17, the final game of the year. And they rested everybody, you know. And so is that going to come into play this year with 17 regular right. season games? Can you rest players? And, you know, are teams going to be up against it and they're going to have to play these players?
Well, absolutely. And that's why for me, again, Pritch, that's why it's so important for me to know when they're playing these particular opponents as opposed to just knowing who it's going to be. I have to know when it's going to be because that would kind of help me shape out. And we start to speculate, too, and we check the boxes, win, loss, et cetera here.
Yeah.
But you take a team like the Seahawks. I mean, then I'm looking at within that division. What are the teams? What is San Francisco going to do within that division? I think that is the NFC West is the most, from top to bottom, the most competitive division in football. And then you throw the 49ers in the mix, depending on where they go with that third draft pick. I think that's definitely going to have some influence potentially on, again, maybe not the season win total for sitting there with the Patriots or the Seahawks sitting at 9.5. But look at that juice. That juice is to the over at $1.40. I mean, just first instinct here and would put a lot more into it. And I would not bet this here, but First thing I'm looking at is I'm looking at the Seahawks at the plus 115 saying there just feels like there's some fracture going on. We've heard stuff about Russell Wilson,
right.
Pete Carroll, et cetera. I just feel like there's a little bit of a fractured locker room there. I'd be looking to play the season win total under with the Seahawks, but I got to know when they're going to play their opponents.
And then you got the Rams at 10 games and the 49ers at 10 games. We don't even know who's going to be the quarterback, but yet their win totals at 10. Here with the 49ers. More NFL draft props coming up, as well as Major League Baseball previews. That's coming up next. Everybody, it's time to get into BetMGM Sports Nevada, the premier sports betting app. BetMGM has all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Just download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the strip. Be sure to have that state-issued ID. Open an account, start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be at least 21 years old and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. If you feel you have a problem, it's 1-800-522-4700. Welcome back to the show. It's Betting Across America presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard, James Salinas, your host today. James, I know you sports wager, but do you play craps at all? I never asked you that question.
I don't. Okay. I don't play crap. I used to play poker, but I got tired of getting sucked out on with the better hand. So, but aside from that, I mean, playing blackjack and rolling dice and those kind of things, I know that I don't know exactly. I really don't know what I'm doing, And I know that the house has the edge on me, and I don't like it when something has the edge on me. I'm either gonna work to get better at it, and or I just stay away from it. So that's for me. When I go to Las Vegas, it's I'm not going out there. I'm not clubbing, doing those things. It's business for me.
I hear you.
I was going out strictly to bet sports. It was all business. In this case, now that it's in in Colorado. Now it's nice because I got business here, but I don't play anything else. So mm-hmm. I'm not afraid to fire some pretty significant sports betting wagers, and then I'll sit at a blackjack table and lose a $10 hand. I'm more mad about a $10 hand that I lost because I feel like, why am I sitting here? Because I know this house already wants me here and has the edge on me. So no, I don't play. I really don't play the craps or any of the table games because I'm already behind when I step up there.
Okay, well, I've been known to roll the bones once or twice, James, and so everybody talks about the draft being a crapshoot, right? And so these NFL props, I don't know if it's prudent to approach them as if you're playing craps or not. Like, for instance, the Pitts position that I have. You know, that's snake eyes or boxcars, right? If it happens, it happens. But, okay, am I going to protect it? Sure I am. So let's look at these props for the Atlanta Falcons. A position of the first player drafted. They currently have the fourth overall pick. So here's some interesting numbers. Quarterbacks plus 140, tight end plus 160. I think we know which tight end they're talking about here. Cornerback 12-1, O-lineman 12-1. So the Falcons, provided if they stay at four, do these odds interest you at all in terms of the position of the first player they could select?
Well, I think that's where we got to dig into. Where is the – it's total rebuild. At least it's new regime now, right? Mm-hmm. So building a new culture there with the Atlanta Falcons, new coaching staff, front office, the whole bit. What are they looking to do? We talked about this before, especially in Atlanta. Nice, brand-new, pretty stadium in there. You need some – you don't want to have empty seats disguised as fans. You need fans to put people in the seats, and at least we know that Atlanta's got a lot of work to do. Defensively, if you're looking at them, looking at the holes, offensive line's got holes. Defensively, you can look all over the place and find plenty of holes, especially in the secondary, linebacker two, and pass rusher, right? But mm-hmm. if you're looking to make a splash here, I mean, that's where you got to consider, all right, solid at wideout. Can't add another, no need to add another wideout. You got Ridley, you got Jones, stud receivers there, but what about you add Pitts? Now, at least you're with Matt Ryan there at the quarterback. It's going to be exciting to watch. People might be interested in tuning in.
Right.
If you're an Atlanta Falcons fan and sticking and watching for four quarters and staying in the stands for four quarters, so at least they're going to light up the scoreboard. Butts in the seats, watching points put up on the board. I think people would rather see a high-scoring game than these games that end up a field goal game, 16-13 kind of game. Atlanta, maybe that's the splash play because they're looking at a bigger picture than just trying to build their team through the draft at this time. We also got to sell some tickets and put butts in the seats.
Absolutely. And then so you look at the tight end, plus money there for a quarterback and tight end. And then certainly for a corner, I mean, I don't know if Atlanta's going to reach for a corner at four. Receiver, 12-1, I don't see that happening either because of, like you mentioned, they have Julio still. But the tight end, butts in the seats, right. The whole Pitts angle, and then maybe a quarterback, if depending on what happens to the previous three picks. But then also Atlanta could trade out of this too. So you have to factor that in, right, as well, right?
Right. And so what, I'm not sure what, if they do trade out of that, maybe somebody's going to be hungry. We'll see what happens at the quarterback positions. Everybody's going to, quarterbacks are a premium, right? And even talk about the depth of the draft at quarterback position, and does it go to what, five or six? We talked about that prop too. I think it tends to go over. I think the teams are going to reach. We've seen it. We have plenty of precedents for teams reaching for quarterbacks that have flamed out in this league. So, yeah, does somebody trade up for four, depending on what SF does at three? That might very well happen mm-hmm. here too. So, again, so much speculation here, Pritch. So much speculation.
We'll get to more of those.
Blowing the hands, warm up the dice, and let's go. I'll roll with you to craps table, man. I'll be out in Vegas soon enough. So
okay,
we'll go and have some fun with that. But here, I don't think I'm going to do that because I want to be much more decisive of where I want to put my money when it comes to any kind of sports.
We'll get to more coming up here on the program. And Andy McNeil, he's got the NHL. That's next. Sports betting action this spring is just getting started, and our VSiN experts are covering early season baseball trends, NHL and NBA playoff races. Plus, we're looking at all the key picks and predictions for the NFL draft. We give you all the tools to cash more tickets, including our 24/7 video coverage. Complete odds and analysis of every game on VSiN.com. Our daily members-only best bet emails and in-depth coverage of every sport and point spread weekly. The weather and the betting action is heating up, and now is the time to sign up for your VSiN 10-day free trial at VSiN.com/subscribe. Welcome back to the show. It's Betting Across America presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard, James Salinas are your hosts today, and happy to bring on to the program Andy McNeil. He is VSiN's hockey expert. Andy, how are you?
I'm good, Pritch. How about you guys?
Doing well. Just trying to figure out this NFL draft stuff and then also hockey. So happy to have you on the program.
I can't help you with the NFL draft. I'm sorry.
Well, hockey for sure, right?
Yeah, for sure. No, I think we've got some things to talk about, even though it's a light slate here with four games. Now with the story coming out that the Colorado Avalanche have had their next three games, I believe, postponed. And I don't want to say it's a good thing. That's, of course, not a good thing. But it might mean that their starting goaltender, Philip Grubauer, who was added to the COVID list yesterday, mm-hmm. Might miss fewer games now that the whole team is going to miss them collectively. So, might be a positive thing in the long run for the team. Hopefully all the players are healthy and well taken care of.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think we got to keep our eye on that because, I mean, just let's start here with the standings. I mean, Toronto and then you had Colorado, Washington on top and, it's Carolina. So you're as we get closer and closer to the playoff push, I guess this is something we got to keep an eye on.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I actually texted back and forth with Mitch Moss a little bit yesterday and mentioned how, Grubauer being the Vezina Trophy candidate that he's been this season as the league's top goaltender, him being put on the COVID list would open the door for the Vegas Golden Knights, but maybe that won't be the case as much now with the Avalanche having their games postponed and playing them at a later date.
Hey, Andy, so let's jump into the card here. I was looking at a rematch from yesterday with the Islanders going back into Boston, and looked like the Islanders, we looked at the standings, right? We're talking about the standings. Boston sitting there hanging on to that fourth and final playoff spot in the East and played like it last night. Felt like there was a lot more urgency out of the Bruins than there was the Islanders. Jumped all over them, peppered them with a lot of shots throughout the game, especially in the first period with 23. Now they come right back, obviously backed again. I got to suspect, looking here at the number, it's laying a dollar and a quarter on the Bruins. The total's at 5.5, definitely juiced heavy to the under at $1.35. Guess the books are we're suspecting a better defensive effort out of the Islanders. How do you see this game playing out tonight?
Yeah, I think there's going to be a little bit more give and take on the side of the Islanders. They're not a team that lets up a lot on the rush. They try to keep things tight and keep teams to the outside, the peculiar thing here is that we're seeing, pretty much an identical price as to what we saw yesterday before some late steam came in on the Islanders, I believe. And there's no Tuukka Rask in goal tonight. It's going to be Jeremy Swayman, a young standout from college who's been good in the American Hockey League and pretty good at the NHL level thus far. But I think it goes without saying that that's a downgrade from Tuukka Rask. So, I'm having a little bit of trouble laying this number with Boston. I would look for minus 105 or better. But with that being said, my projection for this game is kind of, right in between here with it being basically a 50-50 game, in my opinion.
Andy, we have the mini-series matchups, too, because of the divisions and how they're aligned. Okay, Calgary, Montreal, we saw this game back on Wednesday. Calgary gets the win. They are the dog here in this next game or the game tonight, plus 115 for Calgary, the total 5.5.
Yeah, we've seen three really strong games out of the Calgary Flames, and I think this kind of mirrors what happened after Daryl Sutter came in. The team got a boost with a hard-nosed head coach kind of interjecting that into the lineup. They were able to get some wins over some of these teams that they've been playing lately. And back then, the same story was that they were getting some of these teams on the tail end of back-to-backs in tired spots. And that's been the case these last couple of games as well. Montreal's rested tonight. I've been close on them. I'm looking for a little bit better of a price here on the Canadiens. I see some minus 130 if you shop around, and that's a number that I'm looking for here on the Montreal Canadiens. They're 1-4 against the Calgary Flames, and the Flames have played them pretty tightly this season. I'd say it's been their best matchup. But that's caused the price to come way down from what we would have saw just a little while ago, prior to this. And I think that's a little bit of an overreaction. This Montreal team, without Brendan Gallagher, obviously, but with Jake Allen in net, is pretty good. And I'm looking for them to give Jake Allen some more goal support than they have this season tonight. So I like Montreal to win here. But frankly, I'd shop around and try to find the best price that you can at the current number.
Canadians, very good. Thanks, yeah. Andy. So looking, let's go to the West. Couple matchups, two games left on the light board tonight, playing out West. Wild with Wild hosting the Sharks, laying $1.90 are the Wild, as well as Vegas Golden Knights going into Anaheim. Big favorite, 250 out here, at least is the number I've got in Colorado. Anything with these two matchups interest you for tonight?
You know, I don't really love a whole lot here because, we've got John Gibson in net for the Ducks, and I actually could probably get behind that game under with Leonard and Gibson going here. And obviously the Ducks challenges offensively that they haven't been able to overcome. But in the other game, I don't think this is particularly a great matchup for the San Jose Sharks, but they've been really good, as far as their underlying metrics, sitting roughly above average at 5-on-5 in terms of things like expected goals for and Corsi for percentage, which measures the shot differential. And this Wild team, they're just so good at 5-on-5. But we've actually seen some money come in on the Sharks today, up at plus 170 earlier, and they've come down to plus 160 at a lot of shops. So, obviously the market likes this Sharks team a little bit right now, but I'd need a bigger price on both of both the Sharks and a lesser price on the Canadians than what we're seeing to get behind those games.
Yeah, I will say hockey is getting excited. At least I am betting it, that's for sure. Andy McNeil, our VSiN hockey expert, thanks again for your time today.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the playoffs, guys. It's going to be fun.
I think you're right. Absolutely. Looking forward to that as well. When the show continues, we're going to start our preview with the NBA. Some games that are very interesting, of course, games we're looking forward to. That's coming up next. BetMGM welcomes you to Showtime with a chance to win $100 for a $1 wager on the Clippers versus 76ers game. Just use bonus code VSIN100 and you're on your way to betting with the king of sportsbooks. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com for more details and use promo code VSIN100 to win $100 if either team hits a three. It's a new customer offer, paid in free bets. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be at least 21 years old. Colorado, Indiana, Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, or West Virginia. Excludes Michigan. Dissociated persons, please gamble responsibly. If you feel you have a problem, it's 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado, Nevada, and Virginia. 1-800-270-7117 for help in Michigan. 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa and Tennessee. Call or text that red line 800-889-9789. In Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. Welcome back to the show, Betting Across America, and we are presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard, James Salinas with you. James, we have afternoon basketball. How about this? In the NBA, Indiana is on top of Utah. And Utah's at home.
Yeah, well, and I think this is, it's an odd start time, right? Mm-hmm. So kind of creatures of habit are players. And I mean, maybe on the road, it's easier to adjust to different times as opposed to being at home where you kind of have your, normally we're playing at home during the week. These are the times that are normal times. So I have a routine leading up through the day before I go to the arena and tape up, stretch out, and get ready to go. I think the biggest challenge with the Jazz was going to be, as we had talked about this last weekend, that they're for when they started playing, I think they played Sacramento last Saturday.
Right.
And it really kicked off this week's schedule for them. The only team, their next 10 games, going back to last Saturday, the only two games, they had two games that were against teams above 500. And Indiana's a little bit beyond under 500. They're the really only team competing for a playoff spot. The rest of them, outside of the Lakers, and we know that that roster is totally banged up right now, just limping towards the finish line, getting ready for the playoffs. Everybody else, a bunch of non-contenders. So it was really going to be more so for coach and the players to keep their mind right, to keep that competitive focus. And I think here with this weird time of the schedule and the fact that they've just been playing a really lot of soft teams and a number of soft teams going forward until they get to the end of the month, that's the challenge for the Jazz right now, is to it's just hard to bring that effort and energy to every single game. And I think we're obviously seeing that play out right now for the Jazz.
Yeah, we're going to see those spots down the stretch as we get closer and closer to the end of the regular season and then the beginning of the postseason. I don't know where the motivation will be for the Jazz to try to maintain a number one seed. You would think it would be there with the Suns on their heels. But maybe some other angles in the NBA we could break down, James. We got the Grizzlies and the Bulls, and you know these are teams that are fighting for playoff spots. So what do you think of this game?
Well, and Bulls now, Zach LaVine out.
Yeah.
He's got due to protocol, the protocol for COVID, however long that's going to be, a minimum of 10 days. What is it going to be? You know, he's not playing. So mm-hmm. I think here for the Bulls, Billy Donovan, all the trades that they made and moving around a lot of pieces, Donovan's not playing for, even though they're technically available to get into the playoffs right now, I don't think that's their intent. I don't think that's Donovan's intent. He is consistently playing 10 guys. He's playing five guys off that bench. Guys are getting minutes. The only one that was getting consistently more minutes than 30, and it was low 30s, was Zach LaVine. And I think anytime you're doing that, we know he's just trying to figure out pieces, parts, who's best player to play with who. And it takes time, and you don't really, you know, it has to happen in real time, because we know there with the Bulls and Billy Donovan, it's a rebuild project. So I think if anything, maybe they've played beyond expectations so far, but not recently. And I think just the fact that you're playing so many guys and playing different combinations just to try to see what you got to work forward with, especially for next year, makes it hard to establish any kind of consistency, and they're not doing that, right? Mm-hmm. And they just had a bad loss to the Magic the other day. So here with Memphis, I know Memphis has lost three or four, but they were all very competitive games. I like Memphis. I like, okay. What is the number here? I think it was four earlier. I like Memphis here. I like the guard play. They're very aggressive, taking the ball to the cup. Not a real good shooting team, but they play to their strengths. They're not trying to be a three-point shooting team. They know that their guards can get after you off the bounce. They do have some inside presence, too, to post inside with Valasunas. I like Memphis here. I think the Bulls are just, especially with LaVine out and more guys having to move into the starting lineup, new rotations again, makes it hard to compete for four quarters. I like Memphis here. I'll lay that number. I think it mm-hmm. was four, Pritch. It's down to 3.5. That's interesting. So I'll wait. That tells me, I wonder why the money's coming in okay. on the Bulls. I don't want anything to do with the Bulls right now. So I'll wait here, but I like Memphis in this spot, but I'll wait to see if I get a better number.
We're still showing four out here in Vegas. 220.5 is a total. Shop around for that number with that game. How about Denver and Houston? I think Denver needing some players to kind of step up for them. Michael Porter Jr., I'm pointing my finger right at him. They're -8.5 against Houston. 226.5 is a total in this game.
Yeah, too big a number for me to lay right now. We saw Denver rally the other day. We know Jamal Murray gone for the season. And how does that impact them? Maybe short term, they rallied around that and everybody stepped up, picked up their game against kind of a, I think what was a weary traveled Miami Heat team the other night here in Denver. Here, I mean, that's a big number. I'm not going to lay it with Denver, because I think you'll short term, Pritch, I think teams like Denver can rally and fill the production left by Murray. Murray had been out. Murray's been banged up all season as it was.
Yeah.
I think that bubble, that run he made, fantastic run that he made in the playoff bubble, right? Spectacular play and clutch play. I think that was it, clutch play, but took a lot out of him physically. He you know, he grinded through a number of injuries. And then I think psychologically too, and just the short turnaround before the season start, never really was quite himself. And then unfortunately going down with the ACL injury. I think the hard part now is not so much this game. I can't play this game here with that much. That's too big a number for me to lay with Denver on the road. But I think long-term, Pritch, you get into these seven-game series, once they get to the playoffs, they are sorely going to miss that production from Murray, especially in the second half. Crunch time, we know the games get tighter, more of a half-court game, and Murray was Mr. Clutch for them. Jokic has been playing spectacular all season, but it was Murray's team last year in the playoffs. They're going to sorely miss him when they get into the playoffs. We'll see where the matchups come out. You know, we've got a few weeks before then. So no bet for me on this game, but I think you might see Denver rally for a bit. But playoff-wise, I think it's just – it's huge loss for the Nuggets, unfortunately.
Absolutely. And we were talking to JVT yesterday and Jonathan Von Tobel, and I was like, okay, is Denver going to be okay? Because I remember the talk in Denver about Jokic and Murray. I mean, okay, Batman and Robin, that kind of thing. So now Batman doesn't have Robin because of Murray's injury. So could anybody else kind of step up, a new Robin out there for the Nuggets?
Well, and I think that's the hard part. We have, do I want to trust Michael Porter Jr. in, you know, he was the off guy.
Yeah.
And so he got the off play. And Murray was he was Mr. Clutch. And it's just the different, when you've had that experience, Cam Porter, does he have the talent to do that? Yeah. Does he have, as a young player, an experienced player, does Michael Porter Jr. have the bandwidth to be able to step up and have that clutch gene? I mean, that remains to be seen. So if I'm wagering on that, my wager is going to be no until it proved me wrong, right? Step up. All right, attaboy, you stepped up, knocked it down consistently game after game, because it's seven games. You can get out here and hoop up all these teams that are tired coming into the thin air here in Denver and put up big numbers. Let's see that happen in a seven-game series where teams are going to be coached, players are going to adjust, and then you got to adjust as well. I don't know if Porter Jr. is ready to take on that challenge of filling those shoes, especially at the production level in tight games, playoff games, the way that Jamal Murray did. I can't see it happening.
Okay, let's move on to Portland and San Antonio. San Antonio at home, the dog, plus two, catching 2 points at home, 235 the total in this game.
Yeah, I think that, you know, San Antonio hanging on to that 10th, and now we got 10 spots, right? I'm calling them playoff spots. I know it's the play-in thing and the weird series, how that looks. To me, there's 10 spots in each conference that are playoffs, and they're hanging on to that 10th spot right now. And Spurs are a different team. It's a wide-open team, very guard-oriented. You know, not the size is gone, and Poeltl's just – he's not – they don't play through the post. They spread the floor, and they can shoot it and try to beat you off the dribble. And that's exactly what Portland is. I know Nurkic has kind of been in and out. They will play through the post with Nurkic when he is in the game, as well as Cantor when he comes in. But really, we know the identity of that Portland team, right? It's going to be guard-oriented. We are going to shoot the basketball. We'll come at you relentlessly. We're going to push pace. So I think that's going to be an interesting matchup, because both teams are kind of mirror each other from the style of play. I'd like the talent better, especially in the backcourt, and the experience that we have with Portland, and the fact that I think with Portland, you know, coming off back-to-back home losses against Miami and against Boston. Now you're going to play a Spurs team, not the greatest of defenders, not great rim protection here. I would lean towards Portland here, but I kind of looking at the total more so as well. Maybe the total in the first half sitting at 117. I think this is going to be a free-flowing game. It's going to be a pretty wide-open game. A lot of shots and a lot of volume and a lot of tempo. I would be looking at probably play the over first half rather than the full game at 117. But I think I like Portland better, and I'll lay that 2 or 2.5 if you can find a better price.
Okay, James, I was checking out Boston and LA and the Lakers last night, and I'm wondering to myself if Boston can make a run here. I mean, I know Stevens was up against it. Sometimes that can feel you a little bit, right? So Boston's won 5 in a row. Your thoughts on that chance of Boston maybe making a run?
Yeah, I mean, the East is really watered down, right? So it kind of depends on who are they going to play in the matchup. I mean, eventually, we saw what the Heat did. You just throw zone at the Celtics, and they didn't know how to work it. They couldn't beat it. They couldn't adjust to it. So it's just, there's a lot of ISO players on that team, and tends to stick a lot. And I know, Tatum could ball. He's a terrific player, but you know, once that ball comes in, sometimes it doesn't come out. And I think that's where Kemba Walker, he needs to take more of a facilitator leadership role on that team, I think, to get to move the ball, and because it's a half-court game. And I think that's where Boston, they can defend you on the perimeter. Yeah, not a lot of rim protection there, but I don't. Boston's not a team that I like. I just don't like the how this team is constructed or built, especially having to go through seven-game series consistently. It's not a team that I'm going to put much faith in going deep into the playoffs.
And we have yet to see the big three for a number of games out there with the Brooklyn Nets. As I think a big surprise is coming to the Eastern Conference once that develops out there with the Nets. That'll do it for hour number one. Hour number two will consist of more NBA breakdown, MLB, as well as some more props from the National Football League. That's coming up next.